I hope you mean that. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. That's a wonderful blessing. You want a picture of this pretty lady here that you have? That's probably yours, isn't it? Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31, 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s. You are headed out. Let's turn to chapter 31. We'll be in a number of chapters tonight, right around here. 25, 31, and 35 primarily. As we look at this story, we're talking about a stewardship of talents or gifts. We're to render them willingly. And we find a very interesting story in the Word of God tonight as we look at the men Bezaleel and Aholiab. Let's look at what God's Word has to say. We'll read through verse 11 and then we'll refer to other verses as the night unfolds. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, and to work in all manner of workmanship." If you want to know how unusual it is, there are people who may be expert in some of these things, but to be expert in all of them would have been quite phenomenal. But this was not just a normal, gifted person. This was Holy Spirit empowered to do this. Verse 6, "And I, behold, I have given him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacles, and the table, and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver, and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense of the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do." This is an unbelievable list of things that God wants them to do. And these men were especially equipped to do what God asked of them. How many of you have ever seen a picture of either the tabernacle or the table of showbread or the altar of incense? How many of you have ever seen pictures of that, all right? How many of you have seen different pictures? In other words, one looks this way and one looks that way. Okay. When you read the description that God gives them, you go, huh? Some of that stuff, and I'm going to read one for you tonight just to kind of illustrate for you. But these men not only could build the items, but they actually understood what God wanted from them. And that was because God filled them with His Spirit. Now, as we jump into this, turn back with me, if you would please, to Exodus chapter number 25. And we'll kind of get the backdrop of what's happening. Exodus chapter number 25, verse 1. Exodus 25 and verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." We'll talk about that offering in the end here. But this offering came as a result of them spoiling the Egyptians. Unless you think they took a dollar or two off of them, we'll get in a few minutes how much this offering was, okay? Before God finally said, all right, we're done. You got to stop giving. That's what happened in this story, okay? And this offering that ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for light and spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And then basically from chapter 25 through 31, God not only describes this tabernacle and all of the intricacies, but he also talks about the offerings that they are to offer and why each of these things were needed. And then we get to chapter 31, because if I'm Moses at this point, I am totally overwhelmed, right? Like, how in the world is this going to happen? And then God says, by the way, I've given you a couple of guys who are really, really going to help you. Such an enormous task would take special men. And as we open this tonight, you must understand that God never asks us to do something in which he will not also equip us and provide the resources to do it. God never asks us to do something that we're not equipped for and that he didn't provide the resources for. Both of those things were true in these men's life. So let's look first off tonight back in Genesis or Exodus chapter number 31. Let's look first off at the enabling. The enabling. He gives us the name of him, and then he says in verse 3, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." We don't have time tonight to do a study on the Holy Spirit, but just to say this to you, we don't see that as being unusual, because when you're saved in this era, the Holy Spirit fills you. You're possessed of the Holy Spirit, okay? You get him. That's not true in the Old Testament, okay? They only had the Holy Spirit at special times of anointing. He did not indwell them. And so these men had the Holy Spirit come on them specifically for the task that they were to have. The Spirit enables him to do what God has called him to do. I love John chapter 15 and verse 5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me ye can do nothing." Nothing. John chapter 6 and verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Even though these men had a monumental task before them that seemed to be overwhelming, we have a monumental task ahead of us. It's called preaching the gospel. It's called reaching the world with the truth of God's word as we're going making disciples. And the truth is that cannot happen unless we are filled with the Spirit of God, unless God's Spirit is in total control of everything that we do. How dependent are you on the Spirit to enable you for the work he's called you to do? And how is that demonstrated in your life on a day-by-day basis? These men were filled with the Spirit of God. They weren't just gifted men. They weren't just talented men, if you will. They were specifically gifted with the Spirit of God to do the task that they had in front of them. So we see the enabling, but also we see the empowering. The latter part of this verse says that they were filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. The word wisdom here is a specific word that means wisdom in administration and craftsmanship. Just imagine, if you will, the amount of work and the amount of workers that it would have taken to build this tabernacle. And all that had to happen, where the materials had to be gathered and where they were going to be stored, and as they're working through the craftsmanship, putting it all together, and it would have been an incredible administrative job, let alone the workmanship that would have been needed to accomplish these things. The word understanding here means the act of understanding and teaching others. It is more than just gathering data, as the theological word book of the Old Testament says, but also how to use what one possesses. So it wasn't just the information that was gathered, but he had the ability to not only understand the information, but he also had the ability to disseminate that information to others so that they knew what they were doing. That takes a pretty special skill. I've met some people who knew what they were doing, and they were very good at it. But if they tried to explain to you what they were doing, it was done, because there was no way they could do that, you know? But this guy not only had the ability, but he had the ability to teach others what God wanted them to do, and they could do the task ahead of them. That was the understanding. The word knowledge in this passage of Scripture means a perception, a skill, a discernment. It's a technical knowledge, if you will. It wasn't just a general knowledge, but it was a technical knowledge of what they needed for the task. The workmanship is the occupation or the work or a business. They were literally skilled craftsmen. And again, when you look at this list, you say, okay, so they were skilled craftsmen in working with gold and silver and brass. If you do just a little bit of studying of those, it takes different things to work with those. You don't treat them all the same. And in cutting stones to set them, and in carving the timber, and the work of all manner of workmanship. I mean, these were multiple skills. And then when you read the rest of the text, you figure out that they also had to know how to sew. They put together priestly garments, and Aaron's garment was no easy task. And how the exact stones were set in the breast plate and on the shoulders and the mitre crown. I mean, it was an intricate thing that they had to do. And on top of all that, they had to get the special spices and the exact mix that God wanted for the tabernacle process to go through. And it was amazing. It would have been pretty phenomenal for one man to have any skill in one of these areas, let alone all of them. And where did he learn it? Could they have learned some wood carving and stone carving and some of that in Egypt? Absolutely. That's a possibility. They could have done that. But these were not just normal things. This was a supernatural empowering that God gave them. Has God gifted you in a special way? Specifically for the work that God has given? How are you using that for Him? But we see the third thing, and that is the equipping. So they have an empowerment to do something. And they have an enabling to do it, but they also have an equipping. This is interesting as you look at some of these words that God uses here. He says that they have the ability to devise cunning works. The word devise means to think or plan or to calculate, to invent, to imagine. So in other words, he specifically knew how to take God's words and put them on paper and draw out exactly how it needed to take place, how the construction project needed to unfold so that everybody did their job in the right order that it needed to be done. That's the word that God used here. In other words, he could devise even the planning of the process. Pretty amazing. One author said, although everything had been minutely described by Jehovah, designs and plans were still needed in carrying out the work, so that the result could correspond to the divine instructions. You know, it's one thing for someone to say, hey, you know what, I'd like a house, I want it two-story, the basement underneath it, two bedrooms on the bottom floor, two bedrooms on the top floor, a kitchen in the back corner, I'd like a nook in it. But then it's a different thing to actually draw that out, where all the electrical actually matches so that the kitchen actually can plug in the microwave that's supposed to be there, right? That you actually have water in the kitchen, not in the living room, and all those kind of things. Those, some of our men in here have looked at plans before, but if you've ever looked at one and had never looked at it before, you're confused. It's like, what? All these, it's like, okay, where do I begin? You know, when we first started working on this building here, Brother Bob was asking me questions that I didn't know we were supposed to ask. He's looking at me like, well, Pastor, do you want this or this? I'm like, whatever, I don't have a clue. I don't even know we're supposed to ask that question, you know? Those are things that God has gifted them to do there. The cunning works, again, is a plan or a purpose, an actual invention. I want you to think even about the process of dying out things and all of that. How did that come about? That somebody had to invent even ways to do that. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, this whole system needed to be taken down and carried on people's shoulders. So it wasn't like they could fasten everything together permanently. Everything had to be fastened temporarily so that when God said, let's go, they could pack up, everybody put it on their shoulders and take off. That in itself is an amazing feat. The work that they talked about, they work in all manner of workmanship to fashion or to make it, specifically in that gold and silver and brass. The carving and skilled working, both of timber and of cutting stones. These things would have been amazing. They were equipped for the task that God asked of them. And whatever the Spirit of God has equipped you to do, it is needed in the church. We talked about that this morning. So what has He equipped you to do, and what are you doing with that equipping? Well, we see number four, the entourage. He wasn't by himself. The Bible says not only did Basilio have someone, but Aholiab was his key assistant, if you will. But then notice what the Bible says in verse 6. Behold, I have given unto him Aholiab. And then he says, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted have I put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. In other words, God didn't just skill these two men, though he certainly did that, but he brought a whole group of people alongside of them that were also had the kind of wisdom that they needed to accomplish the task that God gave for them. This was a heart issue, not just a job. Did you pick up on that? You know what he says? In the hearts of all that are wise-hearted have I put wisdom. They had the ability to do all that God had said to them and they should do. You may not be the leader of a particular thing, but you can come alongside of him, the leader, and make the task that he has laid out your heart's passion. I want to tell you, there is nothing more encouraging than that. Not just that you're willing to do it, but it becomes your passion too. That's exactly what these guys had. What an amazing task it was for them. How can you passionately serve beside other people as they carry out what God has for them? I want us to see number 5, the employment. We see this in verses 6b through the end of verse 11 specifically. And God specifically tells them a variety of things that he wants them to build. The tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat, all the furniture, the table, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, the laver and foot, the clothes and the holy garments, the anointing oil and the sweet incense. This was an incredible task that they were faced with. I want us to just, for one example, turn to Exodus chapter 37, if you would please. Exodus chapter number 37, verse 17. We could have chosen a number of things, but Exodus chapter 37 and verse 17. I want you to figure out how this was supposed to be built. Okay? Exodus 37, 17. And he made the candlestick of pure gold. Got that one. Of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch and his bowls and his knops and his flowers were of the same. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches thereof, are going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold, and he made his 7 lamps. And so, you get the idea? Not only would you have to decipher what that is, but it needs to look exactly like God intended. And by the way, it's all one piece of gold. It's not put together. It's all one solid piece. Imagine the skill to even decipher what that thing needed to have. The balance in the tabernacle. You needed all of these instruments to be basically dimensionally the same. This was a really incredible task that they were put in front of. There is always plenty of work for everyone to do. Always. Come along someone and help them. What can you do today? But I want us to also look at Exodus chapter number 36. Exodus chapter number 36. Verse 1. Exodus 36 and verse 1. Then wrought Basilio and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of the work of the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Can you imagine saying, oh, time out. What is that, a gold bar? I'm sorry, we're way up with gold. Sorry about that, you know. Silver, nope, we're full up with that too. Brass, nope, we're full up with brass too, you know. Okay, well, how about some incense? Nope, we're full of that too. That pile over there is incense. Nope, we're good, you know. What about material? Nope, we got all that. Stop bringing. We're good. What an amazing thing. We're looking, number six, at the expenses. The expenses. The people brought too much money. Moses had to stop them. We look back at Exodus chapter 25. Do you remember that story? What all they were supposed to bring? Can I just reference that one more time? Exodus chapter 25. They were not only to bring the gold and silver and brass, which is something that we're going to calculate for you in just a minute, but the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen and the goat's hairs and the ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for spices and anointing oil and for sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to set in the even, all of that. There's no way to even measure that, what they brought. Amazing what the people did. Look at Exodus chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38. And some of this, we're going to look at some more detail on our Wednesday night study as we move through the book of Exodus. I'm looking forward to studying the tabernacle. There are so many wonderful things in there. But Exodus chapter 38, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, and all the gold that was occupied for the work and all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents, 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703.15 shekels after the shekel of a sanctuary. And then he gives us some more details of what were to come out there. There is some debate about various weights and so forth and so on, but generally, one talent of silver is 100 pounds. Okay? So, as of Thursday, silver, if you take the amount that silver sold for, the amount they brought, okay, and that doesn't even, that's just the talents. This doesn't include all the shekels and everything. But they brought a total of silver alone, 2,367,600. That's just in silver. Now that's today's economy. You understand that? We're comparing that. In gold, as of Thursday's prices, they brought, I'm sorry, I said 2 million. It was 2 billion. 367,000. I think that's right. In gold, I'm sorry, it is million. I'll get it right here in a minute. I'm sorry about that. In gold, and gold alone, they brought $122,496,000. Okay? So the offering in gold and silver would have easily been in excess of $125 million. If people were collecting today. And by the way, that didn't include all the other lists of stuff they were bringing. Now, when the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 that they spoiled the Egyptians, that would be an understatement. They spoiled the Egyptians. That's very true. Not only that, but that's what was actually brought, and there was more out there. In addition to that, we know that at least some of the people wasted God's money because some of them built a golden calf with it. this is an enormous amount of money. I know it's hard to compare today's prices and all that, but it just gives us an idea of what the people brought and what it would have cost. I've actually been in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. They have a full-scale model of the Wilderness Tabernacle. It's quite amazing to walk into. They actually have kind of a small-scale Holy Land there, if you will. It looks very much like Israel and the rock formations and so forth, and you can actually tour through there. But the tabernacle is one of the most amazing things. And you can walk in there and take a tour and get an idea of all the things that was shaped there. But it's interesting, the tour guide says, this tabernacle sits exactly like we believe the Bible tabernacle would have sat. Exact scale. It's not a small scale. It's exactly what it was. He said, minus the millions of dollars in gold and silver. It's spray painted. You know, be kind of hard to guard that, you know, in the process. But it just gives us an idea of what God's people were giving. The work of God always costs money. But when everyone works together, then much can be accomplished. Yes, if someone says, you know, if I said this, I'm not, so calm down before you get mad at me, before you do that. If I said, folks, God's laid on my heart a $125 million capital improvement project, and we're going to take an offering next Sunday and collect all that, and we'll see you next week. All of us would be like, huh? Really? You say, well, how many Israelites were there? 2 to 3 million. But at least some of them, we don't know how many, but at least some of them were a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. There were a little over 600,000 men over the age of 20. Okay? Just a little over 600,000 of them. So the rest of them would have been women and children. So you could safely say, minus the mixed multitude, that there were 600,000 head of households. Now you start, again, figuring how much those people would have given. It's a phenomenal offering that God gave. The work that God gave them to do, He specially equipped them for and provided the finances for. And so the question is, are you willingly rendering your gifts for the task here at Emmanuel Baptist Church? Don't allow Satan to offer you an excuse. He loves to do that, to give you an excuse of why you can't do what He wants you to do. God has gifted all of us to do something, and we are to accomplish that. And so we've finished these 8 messages, and God's challenged us with the stewardship of trust, that is the gospel. We're to relate purely. We have a great opportunity this week to make a final push towards letting people hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday. There was the stewardship of time, that is our generation. We're to redeem it diligently. There was the stewardship of our treasures, that's our goods that God has given to us. We're to respond abundantly. And then today, the stewardship of talents, that's our gifts. We're to render them willingly. God's challenged us, I believe, greatly in the last 4 weeks over these things. May we use them for His glory. Father, we thank You for the example of these two men who were Spirit-filled and accomplished the work that You had for them. What a blessing it is that You recorded that for us in Scripture so that we could see how many people coming together with a heart passion to do something, we can accomplish it. Thank You, Lord, for the many folk here who give sacrificially, who invest themselves in the work of the ministry. May we all have that attitude. And we love You in Christ's name, we pray.